I am a noted Boston sports hater, but I will forever be mad that
business is booming.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Brother.
You guys,
I don't have enough stonks memes.
My pores have shrunk. Signs
it's
of,
been a solid month of Boston.
Signs
hate.
Of aging have been eliminated from my face. My hair is bouncier.
I shouldn't say month of Boston hitting. That would imply the Bruins made it further than they did.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If you are a person who thinks the NBA is rigged, the Eastern Conference Finals are fucking masterwork. No, I think you're like, oh man, the writers are really getting into it this year on Eastern Conference Finals.
Look what the writers' strike does. We got Denver and Miami in the finals. This is just like when they made Jesse Plemons a murderer.
So let's go with Colorado's tallest Serbian versus a team almost eliminated by the Hawks.
Oh my God, this was written by AI. Written by AI or written by one of those little lottery ping pong ball hoppers?
Celtics are going to come back from 3-0 to force game 7 at home. Is it close? No, man. They just keep fucking stomped.
Sure isn't.
I think the writers
who played
the
really well, the guy they're going to give like $300 million next year? No, he was bad.
Did they finally decide that they should stop shooting terrible threes? Absolutely
also,
not.
No.
Keep them coming.
Oh, I love our NBA podcast.
Does their entire city have as much dog as Jimmy Butler's thumb toe? No, afraid not.
I like that they chose one of the markets involved in this. And this is my least favorite form of dialogue, which is the, oh, what about the ratings? What about the markets? Well, okay, here's what's about them. Miami, they're like, yeah, Miami's not a great TV town. No, everyone's going to be watching the game. It's just that nobody in that town's like, yeah, you're not going to measure what I watch on my screen. That's not happening.
Right.
This is a town where nothing shall be measured properly. There will be no data.
I'm watching this on the TV in my exhibit-built car, so you can't track it.
I got my phone, and that's screaming in my cousin's fridge, and we're all surrounding it, and it's pretty dope. It's a good scene.
This is a different rapper, though. It's not an exhibit. It's like
right.
John Cena's cousin.
Correct.
I love the giant TV market of fucking Boston. You're not big, Boston. You're not big.
You're just loud.
You think you're big. You get a lot of fucking attention.
That's
but you're
not the
big.
Same thing.
Listen, if podcasts were ratings.
That's true.
Listen.
Not this one.
Easy.
Boston free listenership. Shout out to our 8 Boston listeners.
It's time. Yeah. It's time for America to lock into an NBA Finals where Jokic just shoves his big ass into Miami defenders and uses his incredible jump shot.
Dude, it's like watching a horse play basketball.
That's why it's called horse.
But a horse is so good.
He's a horse who loves horses, no less.
Yeah.
He does.
Canonically loves them.
Oh, man.
A like, slam dunk.
Oh, my God. You guys we've been waiting for this.
This finals is just going to be Jimmy Butler punching Jokic, and he doesn't care.
He's Jokic. The horse girl successor to Genghis Khan. It's been right there. Genghis had Serbia, right? At one point?
You know, I'm not going to say that at one point Genghis didn't have anything. If you were like, yeah, Genghis had Cleveland, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Genghis Khan owned Cleveland. To the Shutdown Full Cast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I am joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk,
hi,
Holly Anderson, and on the
ciao.
Ones and twos,
hi.
Michael Ray Serber.
So,
I have a question for you.
Has there ever been a bet? The Italian bear that is potentially going to be freed from bear prison.
I really appreciate your.
They put Smokey in the pokey.
It's a
yes or no
story.
Question. It's a yes or no question. Is it about that Italian bear or not?
No, but it is okay. Now, Ryan. I would love to talk about the Italian bear that's getting out of bear jail.
So, if I have all the facts right, there was a bear who attacked a jogger in northern Italy in April. Jogger died, and they captured what they suspected was the jogger was in the woods where bears live. This wasn't just like, oh no, this bear is out like roaming the streets of Venice or some shit. That would be interesting as well. They captured this bear, but then a local administrative court gave this bear, whose name is JJ4, like it's a robot, like it's a Star Wars robot,
okay,
gave it a stay of execution because there has been an argument that they have the wrong bear.
Wow.
That, is it JJ3? That, like, the bite marks or something are inconsistent with the with this kind of bear, that I think this bear is female, and they're like, no, these bite marks would be from a male. So there's like a whole fucking CSI situation going on with a brown bear.
Are they
going to
produce a body from the body farm and have the accused bite it?
They should.
I guess the answer is, of course, they're not, because they don't have our resources.
Maybe they should have a volunteer, like, the corpse, this is against the law, we cannot do that, but maybe, Giuseppe, you could let him nibble the leg.
But I last saw an update on this in May, in early May, and I haven't heard anything. So maybe just, like, the Italian bear court moves slow?
The heck you say?
Because otherwise...
Hibernating like, animal in an Italian court? Like, it's taking its sweet fucking time.
Do you think there's a bear? Do you think there's an Italian bear prison, or do you think Italy's just like, put the bear in a regular prison cell?
How slow is a bear that smokes?
Is that what the Colosseum's for? Is that where they store the bears these days?
I think that is what it's for. Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah. I know where the bear lives when it's not in jail with its parents. That's 100% guaranteed.
It's tradition.
It's ridiculous. What? Why don't you be close to family?
Find a nice girl.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, you find a nice bear lady.
He's staying at home learning the noodle recipe.
Two things this bear loves: family, racist chants at soccer games.
Can't get enough of them.
Racist against polar bears, I guess.
He can't even really say them, but he feels them. You can see it.
Yeah, right.
I think... If they've framed the bear, right? What kind of compensation do you provide to the bear once it winds its 15 to 16 year path through the Italian
court system?
I mean, it's
already getting a pension, right?
It's going to get a pension
from its factory.
It's going to get more vacation time than you've ever gotten.
Yeah, this bear was a railroad employee for 17 years. JJ.
Oh Jesus! You didn't say it was a railroad. This is a railroad bear. You cannot fire his sons.
The Italian railroad. It's a small country. What else is there to do? You don't need more railroads. You got enough.
They're so good too.
I'm sure they're famously efficient and on time.
we have no room to talk. I'm not going to talk. Listen, you can get a decent cup of coffee and only be 45 minutes late on an Italian train.
We don't have trains.
That beats our ass.
That's true.
We don't have any trains at all.
So. Do we have bear court?
We don't listen.
I mean,
all of the things.
Gatlinburg has police.
Yeah.
So.
All of the
probably?
Things. Yeah.
I try this bear in the street.
Judge Catfish, if you'd like to weigh in, please contact us.
Hold on. Let me arrange this tea time. Judge Catfish's game, short game, has been good this week.
Throw your pistol. Draw, damn it.
Ryan, do you remember your Judge Catfish voice? Because it was like 3 seconds long, but it was absolutely.
I wish I did. I don't.
It was like, how do you plead?
We can talk, like, all the things Italy's beating our ass at. They've got bear court.
That's a short list.
They've got,
I think we've said them all.
Handsome police.
Handsome.
Oh, no, wait, is it, which one?
Spain.
Is it Spain? Okay, never mind. Spain. Okay.
Spain's got,
I mean, Italy too, just, sure. We'll give them
no,
that
but
one.
No, but there's one country that it was like.
The hot cops.
Yeah, it's like distractingly handsome police.
Italy is on the list. That's fine.
Yeah. They beat our ass in terms of being about it as soccer fans, for better or worse. You go, hey, they're about it. They sing a lot, and they carry flares to games. What are they singing? Well, that's the part where they don't have us, because you don't want to know what they're singing. You're like, wow, they're really into this. What are they saying? And you're like, oh, no.
All the flesh slipped off my skull.
You don't want to know.
I think that's a wash. Like, we care about more about more sports than they do. They just put all their caring into one sport. So
I could buy that. We're more diversified in terms of our care.
In lots of ways, yes.
Yeah. They have Italy has better food. I think we can agree on that. Ryan, you've been there.
They import our Pizza Hut or Domino's or whichever it was.
That's true.
And then they had to reject it because it was too good. They were like, this will ruin the Italian food ecosystem.
Children cannot be exposed to this. They will disregard the old ways.
Signore, I'm eating 6-7 dinners a month at Domino's. She ruined me.
I thought he was Little Caesars. It turns out in stature he's dominating my life. It is both hot and ready.
If we really want to fuck with Italy, I think we just got to send Totino's over there. Not even restaurant pizza.
What have we said about chemical warfare and the Geneva Accords?
Just brother, like, how do you say 99 cents a pop in Italian?
In Italian.
We eat this. I heard y'all like parties.
Just send them video of ourselves actually eating those.
They look so happy. They're sitting on their couch.
There are starving children in America eating Totino's.
So we could send them
supper.
School cafeteria pizza plank. Like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
The Stouffer's plank? Yeah, yeah. I'll eat those.
Yeah.
Cry about it. You can't stop me.
Just
Italy, I can't help but notice that your pizza place is open and closed, but... Did you know that when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime? Checkmate, Italy!
Just going back in time to tell Julius Caesar, so there's a restaurant named after you. What an honor!
It's everywhere. It's
known for the cheapest
Everyone
stuff.
Knows your name.
Hand a bagel bite to an Italian. They're like, all right, this isn't bad. What's the crust? And you're like, it's Jewish bread. They're like, what?
Whoa! Oh, God. So you're saying they've diminutized me. Yes,
so you're saying bagel bites are the two-state solution.
Mamma mia made pizza rolls.
Answer the question.
Anyway, free JJ4. The bear did nothing wrong.
That's JJ Quattro.
JJ
Quattro.
And give him some Stevie B's.
Dude, they just, as compensation, they're just going to hand him a dumpster. And I'd be like, no, hand him an American dumpster.
Give the bear one of those like big bottles of wine. Like what are the biggest ones called?
The Jeroboams.
Jeroboam. Yeah,
give him a Jeroboam.
A Jeroboam of Chianti with like the wicker around it.
That might
it.
Be the bear's it's, full name.
Just be like Jeroboam Jesus the Fourth.
Jeroboam was jail bear.
That's what it stands for. Jail Jeroboam Quattro. It'll say the bear will be like,
what's the four for? The number of times I cut that jogger. Oh, shit.
Is it Baraboam or Jerabarum?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes is the answer there.
So, okay, but you didn't want to talk about the Italian jogging bear.
No, that's not on the list for today.
We would never want to talk about that.
I apologize. Yeah.
No.
The biggest is the Melchizedek. Go on. The biggest wine bottle. Go ahead.
How big
the
is
Melchizedek?
That? How many mls?
How big is that compared to a Methuselah?
It's 3,000. It breaks the chart here. I guess it's 10,000.
Okay.
Let me see.
Bigger than Methuselah.
Let me see this here wine bottle.
That's the only other one.
Jesus Christ.
No, he's
that's
a little
like,
bit, la- he's
like
a little
a
bit later.
That's a preteen of wine.
I'm going to call that one the Wright Thompson.
What, does it have a stupid fucking hat on?
It's big enough you could put a hat on it. That's what I was saying. Like, you could actually put like a decent sized fedora on
this
bitch.
Pork point, put a pork point. Put a pork point.
Wear
it
at the dinner table.
This is, oh my God, this is not a wine bottle. This is a friend.
This is a companion in the Victorian ladies. This is accompanying Daisy Miller's grandmother to the Colosseum to sketch.
Here's my R2-D2 of wine.
It's got me rolling around on the floor, sticking my finger in light sockets and shit, cussing at a tall gold. It's got me puking up weapons.
Why did we make a droid that only runs on rot gut wine?
I threw up Dagobah water for like 2 days.
It's got me fighting a weird frog who knows karate.
I beat myself up in a cave.
What do you mean? It's got me like strapped to the side of a starship with no protection whatsoever. You ever think about that? They just slap a droid on the back of Mitt Romney's dog. They just
My friend stuffed me inside a dead llama.
Yeah. What do we do?
It was June. Warm it, wasn't here. Even, it wasn't even cold. It was June.
Luke I'll sleep it off.
He is the dog. The group.
That's it. What is your contribution to the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, I wrote the droid that runs on wine. It was short-lived.
Wildly popular among three people. I wanted to talk about the haters' economy and about hating. Because last night the Celtics lost. And I don't really have like a consistent... I'm a situational hater, okay? Because the situation to me dictates the proper level of hate. But last night, in terms of the script, it was impossible not to feel the power flowing from your fingers when you consider what actually happened in this series. Because three games down, they come back and tie it 3-3, a franchise with some of the worst isn't even like I don't want to use a term like that, like fans who chalk and cheese, just not you know, my people at all, just doesn't feel like it, just
the
not
Celtics
people.
Specifically
yeah
Celtics
yeah.
fans okay
Celtics fans okay. right. Like, they are a weird, like, I want to get this very right. I don't think Celtics fans are the same as Lakers fans, because Celtics fans are occasionally actually from Boston, whereas Lakers fans, who knows? Who knows? There are end tables that are Lakers fans.
Big Foss, this is a Lakers fan.
Big Foss, who grew up in Macon, Georgia, and is UGA through and through, and is a massive Lakers fan. And you're just like, how did that happen? And I don't know. I pretty much know how you became a Boston Celtics fan, right? You might actually be from Boston. Probability is real high. Not super pleasant to be around in terms of social media or actual presence, right? Just not, especially because they are, as Lakers fan George Foster pointed out on Twitter this morning, a franchise that in many ways is not too different than the New York Knicks over the past 30 years. A horrifying thought, but one that does not have its one that doesn't lack its accuracies. Like, there are correlations there.
Yeah, are you saying that is part of the reason they're so unpleasant to be around? Is they feel they deserve to be the thing that the Celtics were long, long, long ago?
There might be some entitlement there, you know, and I think also their high-profile celebrity fans have not necessarily done them any favors in terms of overall presence. In terms of who are we rooting against? For instance, Texas, it's kind of fun to make fun of you and hate on you a little bit, because I know Matthew McConaughey's right there with an inspirational speech, right? Just beating on a bongo going, turnovers! Adversity!
The all-new Lincoln turnover.
The all-new Lincoln turnover. Yeah. It's back, Lincoln.
It's the car that only flips.
See that bull in the road? I'm going to run into it.
Not
it's
going to
destroy this car.
The bull's all not there.
Yeah, the bull's not there. But Texas, like, you know, their high-profile fans have not exactly helped in terms of making them not an easy target. But that's nothing compared to what Boston has in many respects. And they do believe that they are still a great franchise. And it's always way easier to hate on those people because there is a little bit of entitlement there. Like, you know, hey, kiss the ring. What ring? Has yeah. Like, the Miami Heat have been a more successful franchise over the past 20 years, which is the, like, long-term thing that you could say with this is to go, yeah, you shouldn't be surprised. The Heat win more often than you do.
Yeah.
Well, you know? They exist in a weird, like, and until Foss brought this up, I forgot that, like, oh, yeah, there is a weird thing where, like, they have sort of just gotten caught up in the run the Patriots had, the run the Red Sox had, where it's just like, Boston just went in titles, and it's like, yeah, I guess that's true. How many Celtics titles is that in that group? It's just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one that was so shocking. The most famous quote about it is, anything is possible.
Yes.
Yeah. Even the Celtics winning a title, if you use your imagination, is conceivable. I mean, it was.
There's also a weird thing with that Celtics team where, like, everyone who has spun off of it either is, like, devoid of, like, nobody's like, oh, Kevin Garnett, classic Celtic. Like, KG is just KG. I don't think anybody, like, really has any big attachment to him. Ray Allen moved on and went and played for the Heat. Paul Pierce is like,
nobody's like, yeah, man, that's legend Paul Pierce. They're like,
no.
That's the guy who got fired on Instagram, Pierce.
That's the guy who got fired on Instagram, or that's the guy who pooped his pants, or that's the guy who, was it Jalen Rose, was like, let me, on television, give you the detailed explanation about why you are not nearly as good as Scottie Pippen or whoever it was.
You can't let a man with that haircut talk to you like that.
On the tier of celebrity, he got Daffy Ducked. He's the guy who's always like, I belong on the marquee.
And then the coach was Doc Rivers, who has just, like, infuriated four different fan bases at this point.
Yeah, what a legacy.
Like, there is nobody from that Celtics run that, like, KG is probably the most popular and well-liked person. But it's not in any way like, oh, yeah, because he was a Celtic.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's irrelevant.
I would assume, like, I feel like I've seen some reference to him having a bit more kinship with Minnesota than with Boston, even, you know, despite leaving and all that.
I mean,
like, to this day.
Even the way in which he left was basically Minnesota being like, this sucks here, and we would like we want you to have greater possibilities in your career.
Yeah, that Minnesota, who, of course, also did that with current NBA Finals participant and Eastern Conference MVP Jimmy Butler in a very different way of manner of leaving.
Who hasn't gotten rid of Jimmy Butler and insisted that Jimmy Butler was the problem, frankly?
You saw that clip of him just with a wine glass in hand and this really loud floral print shirt on going, it's Jimmy Butler day, bitches.
How would the hater of you have felt if Boston had won Game 7?
I would immediately roll it over to Denver because this is what a hater does.
Would you have enjoyed any of the haterness of Miami blowing a 3-0 lead?
I think you still have this. You have, look at what Boston had to do to beat an 8
correct.
Seed.
Correct. That's okay.
And now they're going to get stomped anyway.
Okay.
That's where you're at, is you say, if they had pulled it off, hater 101, you would have immediately gone, well, look at what you had to do. And now you have to fight Ruffles the magical basketball horse, right? now you have to go and combat the Serbian Clydesdale, and you're gonna get fucking waxed.
You did all that just to face a fucking Minotaur on who's had 2 weeks rest,
right? You had to go. You
universally beloved.
It took you 7 games to put down Eric Spoelstra's cast of Football Manager, I found you in Iceland power forwards. You know, like Eric Spoelstra does this, like the Heat just do this thing where they just go through the garbage pile and they're like, that's a perfectly good flat screen. You could get that working again. And they beat your ass with it.
The Heat are every Big Ten West team who thinks they're going to make a national title run, except it works.
Right.
We got 1 5-star and 1,000,000 2-stars. We're good to go.
They're very Wisconsin in that respect of like, what are you going to do?
I was just thinking this reminded me of Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, what are we going to do? Just run our play? Just hit you in the face?
Although he did have a line. Melvin Gordon had a line, so I guess I shouldn't.
What are you going to do? Toughness.
Apply toughness. Yeah. What are you going to do? Apply more
do
toughness.
You have anything to say to us that isn't an adverb?
Who's going to beat your ass? A guy named Duncan who played at Exeter is going to fucking tear you a new one. Martin, who went to Nevada.
Duncan Robinson had blocked somebody's three, right?
Yeah, I think he blocked Jalen Brown. Yeah.
Caleb Martin was cut by the fucking Hornets.
Yeah. I did not know that Oberlin was an NBA
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Eric Spoelstra is just over here being like, hey, listen, this kitchen runs on margins. You get that out of the trash, we're putting it in an entree.
The biggest winner of this series is Bam Adebayo, who doesn't have to live with, hey, Al Horford fucking stuffed you at the rim at game six this series.
No, game six never happened.
Game six didn't happen.
I don't remember that shit at all.
Game six is not important.
No. I do love that, too, because the one guy on the Celtics who I really like is Derek White. Like, Derek White's awesome, and he got to do the thing that was cool, and then they lost anyway. It's a perfect world for me right now in terms of potential hateration. But I didn't have to do the rollover into the Nuggets where you're like, well, look what you had to do to struggle to get here, and now you're going to get destroyed by Nikola Jokic. No, now it's all free now. I don't have to hate anything.
Also, so now you can both appreciate the Denver Clydesdale while also refusing to give the Nuggets any credit for winning. You beat an 8 seed.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
I also appreciate that we are doing the this is the first play-in team to make the finals or whatever, ignoring that fucking lost to the Hawks.
Yeah, and like first play-in team feels insane because like you could have the play-in could have been around for 50 years and they'd still be the first play-in team to do this.
Right.
I'm sorry. Is this now, by the way, NBA shadow champions, the Atlanta Hawks, if the Heat win?
Yes.
I said a few weeks ago we need to hang a fucking banner.
Eastern
Conference transitive champions.
I mean, damn, put something up there.
There's got to be something other
there. A lot of empty wall.
The fucking widespread panic attendance record and the LEED certified green stadium banner from. That's it. That's all we got.
Hey, go ahead, put it up there. Jimmy Butler's daddies. Just put it right up there.
And the Heat were losing to the Bulls in the last game that they played in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
With like 4 minutes to play. And just like got hot late and managed to pull it out. But like the team that almost lost to the fucking Bulls is in the finals.
Do you think there are multiple Bulls fans who are like, it could have been us?
Yes. Yes. 100%.
There are.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, looking at the Eastern Conference, it's like, sure, why not?
Yep.
You know what, man? I'm guessing you became a Bulls fan in your childhood. Is that correct, Server?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Probably around 1997?
Well, I mean, I was born in 1989. Like, I only knew Michael Jordan as the coolest motherfucker to ever walk there.
It would be much funnier if Server was like, no, in the last 4 years, the gritty bad Bulls teams have really...
If you're like, Tom Thibodeau, man, there's just something about
hang
that.
Hang on. No, I will say, like, I was naturally a Bulls fan because of that, just liking Michael Jordan, being from the Carolinas, so taking pride in the fact that he was, too.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch any NBA basketball for a very long time. I was much more into college basketball. But then, like, when Derrick Rose got to the Bulls, I did very much get back into it and was like, no, this is my squad. I do like this team. I have always played with them on the games, but they only had Elton Brand and they sucked.
Yeah.
So this does rule. And I did taste that bit of success. They won 62 games 1 year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, so Thibodeau, to a certain extent, but... Almost all Bulls fans are like me, Bulls fans, because like Cowboys fans, right? Like,
yeah,
they won a bunch at one time.
Yeah. They won stuff, and I like winning, so that's why I root for that team.
It's fun to feel good.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I think that's when you pick if you pick an EPL team, you eventually decide, do I want to root for the team that's like, oh, they've been relegated to the Nando's division. They're now four tiers down. Because that's happened, you know. You're like, maybe I'll root for Blackpool. And then you watch a Blackpool game and you go, I'm not going to root for Blackpool. This is not a good idea.
Speak for yourself.
But I get that. I mean, I like you want to be happy. like, I don't know why people are Lakers fans other than winning. Like, it just seems like a very, very weird thing to be.
So that as soon as the season ends, you can fire out all the jersey photoshops you've prepared of every free agent and not even a free agent.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's basically being a Lakers fan in the offseason is basically like getting your associates in graphic design.
A Lakers fan's offseason is like, now the fun begins.
But you're also, if you're a Lakers fan, just from a math perspective, you're like, all right, we will probably win one title a decade. Probably. Yeah. Like, that's just how it will work.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the worst thing to sign up for.
It's not. You get to use Photoshop a lot. I'm sure there's Lakers fans out there currently putting Victor Wembanyama in a Lakers jersey, even though he's not somehow going to the Lakers. Just like, make it happen, Pelinka. Make it happen.
Make it happen, LeBron. Yeah.
Come on, LeBron. I know that he's going to San Antonio, but what if you just talk to him?
Yeah.
What if he did?
We trade Anthony Davis and a shitload of our tacos, which are much better than Texas's tacos.
Damn.
Uh-oh. No, you got to do it. Yeah.
That's got to be the Taco Cup, that rivalry right there.
Yeah. That is, by the way, an argument to be made by a Lakers fan who lives in, like North Dakota. They're like, yeah, our tacos are much better. Tacos. Who's?
Yeah.
Who's?
Of course, Wemby wants to come here to Hollywood, says the person in North Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Lake Show.
I think it's Minnetonka?
Listen, that's where the name originated from, all right?
Yeah, like, as in the great ones?
From the ancestral.
I'm an OG.
From the ancestral homeland.
Please, God, if we could get the real OG Lakers fans who's like George Mikan, baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shot clock ruined the game.
That part is true.
It's a game of possessions. Yeah, that part is true.
It's a chess match.
Where you only have rooks. Long,
cutting
straight
is
lines.
For cheaters.
Yeah. Chess was ruined when they introduced the knight. What's with all this I'm here and I'm there shit?
The knight is the pick and roll of chess. I hate it.
I only like basketball played by confused alligators. Why is everyone running sideways? I can't.
Sport has too much athleticism. Nobody needs to see all that. But they did lose, and they lost in like a fashion that I could not have scripted better, because they did not lose by 2 points. They did not lose by six. They lost by many points.
It was not valorous. It was mm-hmm. not. They did not leave on their shields.
They did not collapse after two quarters. They did not collapse after three quarters. It was done. They came out and it was fried. That bitch was done. It was well done. It was torched from the go. It was never really like, ooh, maybe they'll get into this. Nope. Just Brick City. All day long. Couldn't have scripted it better. Like, nothing could have gone better than that game in terms of how badly it went for them, in terms of the hater economy, right?
I believe with the greatest, most passionate, most knowledgeable fan base in all of sports, the hallowed arena in which they play all the history and the ghosts, I believe they lost three home games in this series.
They lost it at home. I mean, it's a bad
sports town, as everyone knows.
I did see like five people stand up and clap for them afterwards, and I was like, I don't know if I would have had the strength. It's like a couple of court sides who are like, yeah, good, that's our team, we should clap for them. And I think that's what you should do if you're a good person. Man, I don't know if I have the strength. Like, Jason, you've watched your team commit with another Boston sports franchise the gold standard for the worst. Would you have, if you had been at the Super Bowl, stood up and clapped for them?
I was not able to stand, so no. My thing is, this Boston meltdown happened after a far worse one just a few weeks ago, when the greatest regular season team in the history of hockey lost to a create a team called the Florida Panthers. That's fucking incredible. The fakest sounding team in all the pro sports beat
a Panthers
possibly
team who,
the best hockey team ever.
Who also barely made the fucking playoffs.
By doing the exact same shit, what do we do?
God.
Hard!
So, all right. So if we get Heat win the finals, Panthers win the cup, Ron DeSantis is winning the presidency, right? Like, that's pretty much. This all,
yeah.
Okay. Cool.
The Canes are going 4-8. Yep.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. In that, by these rules, you have to look like a total loser before you win, and that man is completing the first part of the step.
Dude, he's powering up.
That dude has got just barrels of loser juice.
He's getting shelled by the Hawks right now.
Yeah, he's getting shellacked. Everybody on the message board is just like, I don't know who we need to trade for. I don't know what we need to do. You know. Do we need Roger Stone at small? The two? What do we need?
Nah, he'll wear his fucking hat.
Yeah, he'll have a dumb hat.
His top hat on the court.
Or his Urban Meyer sunglasses.
Yeah. This leads to what I wanted to talk about today, which is like
all that was intro. That was all set up.
Well, I mean, this is part of explanation of the
imagine
where you
listener
go like,
that this is a Star Wars film and everything you've seen before this is just the text scroll, and now we pan down to our first planet of this episode.
War. Here comes the
Star Destroyer.
This is a big, and only now are we looking in at a giant spaceship descending on a planet. You're like swiping through the scroll.
The orchestra paused to take a piss break in the middle of the scroll.
They're like, this is still better than Attack of the Clones.
Lorem ipsum. Paragraphs at a time.
Well, I'm sorry, Spencer. What did you want to talk about today?
Which is the worst in the prequel, one or two?
Two. Two.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's probably two.
Two's worse.
I think two is the worst, but one is the most upsetting.
What? Well, yeah, because that's when you knew, oh no, these aren't going to be good.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like wasting the new cool villain, and like two's just bad.
I don't know. You get to see him cut in half. That shit was pretty dope.
And
in retrospect,
come back. He does come back despite being halved pretty bad.
Yeah, he's the heat. He's the heat. Really.
That's true. He's red and black and everything.
Yeah. It also continues my favorite running gag in all of Star Wars, which is Obi-Wan Kenobi, the man of peace, mutilating people horribly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just uncivilized to fight, and I don't want that. And he's like taking limbs, cutting people in half, maiming people for life, absolutely destroying people's like bodies. Yeah.
I also can't remember most of what happens in two, but with at least with one, I can be like, pod racing. Mm-hmm. That's what's in one is pod racing.
It inspired the Nintendo 64 pod racing game. For that alone, it is pardoned.
Yeah, I think the third one is actually okay.
The third one's good.
Third one's got some heat. Third one's
literally
got some heat.
The third one's good.
Because if you go through all of the steps, the incoherent steps of people with really inscrutable motivations and really, really stupid plots, because there's like 23 different points where you go, if someone just talked to this person, this would be done. Don't y'all have cell phones? Like, this would be over. But then when you get to like the actual fight, you're like, okay, the fight's pretty good. All the fighty is pretty good. Also, Anakin like walks in and you're like, oh my gosh, the series is so candy ass. And you're like, no, he just killed a bunch of toddlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they were like, yeah, we heard you shit talking. Candy ass franchise. No way. We're the ones who are going to actually be like, Anakin won't kill the kids. Yeah, no, he's going to kill all the kids.
Is this what you wanted to talk about?
It is. I really wanted to get straight to that. I wanted to talk about Italian bears, and I wanted to talk about Anakin.
I wonder how long we can delay the...
God, if Anakin had gotten waxed by one of those four-year-olds...
Like, shit. If one of those kids was the one...
If one of those kids had just been like, no, not today. Not today, motherfucker.
Not even like Jedi wax, just like got him right in the kidney.
Like if they move really quickly and it's like three of them got an ankle,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and he, yeah, they could have incapacitated him, I think,
yeah.
If he'd been
not
distracted,
to blame them.
If he'd been distracted momentarily, like, ooh, are you playing Roblox?
Shit, he's allergic to bees, and then it's just like break. Fuck.
Yeah, like the one thing a Jedi can't stand is being bitten.
Mm-hmm.
Right, mm. Some three-year-old clamped down on him like a pit bull.
Ow!
Not even the Force can deal with biting. I wanted to just lift the hood a little bit on, like, you know, confessions of haterdom personally, you know, in the sports world.
Wait, are we starting now? What's happening?
No, we've been talking about, like, Boston.
Oh,
won.
We have started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But like Boston to me is definitely one of the consistent ones where you go, who do you like to see lose? And like, it fills you with a real joy. I don't want to diminish that. It's real joy. Like last night I was like, I'm so thrilled. I'm so happy, because you can't be happy for your team all the time, because most of the time your team does not win. That is just the necessity of things. So how do you find
joy? That's just math. Most of the time, everyone's team loses.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah, we're here for real talk here on the Full Cast.
Welcome to modern capitalism.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's a zero-sum game, and only one team wins.
It sounds beyond zero. It sounds worse than zero-sum.
Negative sum. Welcome to sports. Here's your pass to Monday Raw and a copy of the Communist Manifesto.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
But I wanted to, like, Boston for me is like to confess the playbook. You go like, well, who do you hate and who makes you happiest? And admit that it makes you happy. I will confess, it makes me really happy when certain teams lose all the time. And sometimes teams that I don't even necessarily hate. If you lose in a particularly disastrous way and you're an otherwise, you know, milquetoast franchise, I'm going to think that's funny every single time. And I will get the Mel Brooks quote right, because it needs proper tribute. And because, as Holly pointed out when we were talking about this, he writes in cadence, all right? But the definition of comedy, right? I will find it here.
I'm just going to say, is he going to fuck it up right?
Nope. Okay. I'm going to read it straight off the fucking screen, Ryan. Tragedy is when I cut my finger. Comedy is when you fall into an open sewer and die. That's, which is why you watch sports. I maintain it's like way more, people are like, no, you watch sports for positive reasons. I'm like, I might be positive about it. That doesn't mean what happened was positive.
It is. There are lots of reasons to watch sports, but it is one of the more, it has been one of the more socially acceptable places where you can be an unrepentant hater.
I shouldn't say that. You're cheerful.
It's a lift. It's a, like, you know, it definitely like, it'll brighten a day. You know, like for about 2 hours last night after the Celtics lost, I was pretty geeked. I was pretty happy. I was like, no, this made my day better. I'm happy now. Just thinking about it.
Yeah.
A little bit. If I am watching college football, there are certain moments in certain teams where, you know, if they lose, it's a pretty good day. Like, I don't even hate Alabama, but if they lose, that's funny. That's funny as hell. If Georgia loses, whenever that happens again, which doesn't seem to be a thing that happens very often, but when they lose again, oh, it's going to be hilarious.
I think my favorite, even more than Alabama, which when they lose, of course, it's an apocalyptic event, but Bama fans, like, by and large, they get very internal about it. We have sinned, right? What can we do to ensure we never feel this bad ever again? When Ohio State fans lose, they take it out on the rest of the world, which is far more entertaining. Everyone is against us. The Big Ten is conspiring against its biggest property. ESPN is conspiring against its biggest partner. On and on and on and on. An Ohio State loss, a football season is not complete without it. Football is just better when Ohio State is bad, which never happens.
Can I fine point this for you?
Jason,
I
think please write that column at the start of the season when all of the Notre Dame and USC columns are coming out.
Yeah, Ohio State. I think college football is better when Ohio State is really, really good, but not great.
Right. When Ohio State, number five forever.
Oh.
In the new era, also number five forever.
Just a great place to be and also kind of hell.
Yeah, they hate it. They hate it.
It's the absolute best, and they do not handle it well ever. Ever. And you know what? I don't ever want a fan base who handles losses well. It's not entertaining.
Hello.
Yeah. Who does?
You know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this. Probably because they've gotten used to it. Notre Dame. I don't get people in my mentions, or I don't get people I don't. But maybe that's me because they know not to.
I think they expect it, and also they have they being like their bad fans, because they do have good fans. Their bad fans have sort of set up this, well, if we lose, it's because we are better people.
Yeah,
we haven't stooped to their level.
Which is Big Ten.
Tell yourself that all you want.
Which is Big Ten as hell, and that should hurt a little bit.
We carry the blameless veil of Catholicism.
Yeah, that's
around
that's
us
very
like a blankie.
It's a very public school of you, Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's.
Notre Dame is also in a weird spot where, like, most of their big ticket rivalries or, like, recurring rivalries have lost a lot of. Stanford Notre Dame is not a thing anybody has cared about in a while. USC Notre Dame has lost a lot of what it used to be. Like, we've had maybe a couple good ones recently, but USC has had such a down track for a long time. Notre Dame. You know, Boston College is technically a thing, but, like, no.
They tried to make the Navy rivalry. They tried to give that some juice for a few years there by losing to Navy several times. But
Yeah.
That was, you know, thank you for your service, Notre Dame. That was really nice.
What it is, in a weird way, is Notre Dame has become what it has tried to avoid fully embracing, and that's an ACC team, where it's just sort of like, yep, sometimes you lose, and it's not that funny or calamitous when you do. Like, that's Notre Dame is like supercharged NC State at this point.
Yeah, like, oh, look, they're playing Virginia Tech for the fourth time this year. Somehow.
Right. And they beat them three times and lost once.
Notre Dame's Maserati, that's a Dodge. That's a Dodge. There's a different badge on it, but that's still a Dodge. Which is fine.
Book Dodge.
It's fine. Yeah. If you just take the parts away, that's still a Dodge. You just paint more for it.
So are we saying it is less fun to hate Notre Dame than it used to be? Because I certainly think that. I've talked about it on here. I realized when Brian Kelly left, I just hated Brian Kelly. I don't give a shit about Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame hasn't been a bully in the entire time I have watched college football.
Yeah, Marcus Freeman has not made it easy to continue.
No, and you know you could get personally biased too, because now I have a number of friends who went to Notre Dame, and you're like, I don't really want to make you too sad. I want to make you like this sad, but I don't really want you like big sad.
I also had a small grudge against them forever for their ushers, but nothing.
Yeah,
no, that's more goofy than anything.
Like, part of it is like why the Celtics losing in the way that they did is emotionally satisfying in an unhealthy way is because like the Celtics,
oh, no, it's incredibly healthy, man. My teeth are whiter.
My hair's shinier.
That's fair.
My nails are strong.
The Celtics, despite only having the one title in this run, like they've been to the finals a bunch. They have like, they are a good team. They are a team that at the start of next year, people are going to be like, yep, like some people will pick them to win the East, or they'll at least be, you know, one of the top. They'll be one of three teams that people are like, yeah, these are who you should watch for in the East. And the longer you go without being powerful in that way, the less satisfying, like, because what you're talking about is expectation meeting reality. And Notre Dame hasn't lost a game in a long time that fits that definition. Like, mostly it's like, okay, they lost a playoff game where everybody knew that they were pretty overmatched, or like they were the fourth seed in and it was like they deserve to be there, but they're not like at the same caliber. It has been a while. Like, I remember when Notre Dame lost to USF at home. That was some dark shit. Skip Holtz took his team from Tampa into his dad's old workplace and fucked them up.
Do you remember?
Like, the closest one I can think of that probably meets this criteria, the most satisfying Notre Dame loss that I remember chronologically, is the NC State game played in the middle of a hurricane
where they
decided to throw the ball like 48 times or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was funny because that was hubris on display. That was like, you think you're so smart and talented that you can ignore the weather.
I've got something here. And it's probably really hard to find at this point, but I had a Twitter thread at one point that was just a Saturday prompt that was, please describe your favorite Notre Dame loss.
Okay.
And in the way that Notre Dame fandom, Cowboys fandom, you know, transcends regionality, appreciating their losses also appeared to be kind of universal, mm-hmm. because everybody's got a favorite Notre mm-hmm. Dame loss. Mm-hmm. Even Notre Dame fans mm-hmm. had a favorite Notre Dame loss. It's one of my favorite afternoons on the internet in recorded history.
I think jumping high on my list was last year when they lost to Marshall, a superior university.
We might need to redo.
They lost to Marshall last year.
We might need to redo that. I've always been particularly partial to Ram Vila coming across the line like a goddamn cruise missile.
There is a lot about that Notre Dame start of the year that it's good that Notre Dame did that in the first month and not the last month. Let's put it that way. It is narratively helpful for Marcus Freeman and the Notre Dame football program that it
progress.
Yeah, because almost lost to Cal is not some shit you want to do in November.
I guess maybe the thing is, like, I don't know if I've ever in my life, like, actually interacted with a shitty Notre Dame fan other than, like, some idiot on the internet.
They're
or
on message boards. They're not even on Twitter that much. Like, most Notre Dame fans on Twitter are mostly fine.
Like, they're
all on their own message boards.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is where they have a right to be. You know, you're like, you're a fucking moron. You're like, yeah, but I'm on fucking moron.net. It says they're right in the title.
Rock'sFavoriteIdiot.com. That's where I'm at.
So,
you know, like, you're not in my yard, you're in your own stupid yard. You're
on
stupid
town. Holly cut herself off, and now I really want to know what she's talking.
Yeah?
Nope.
It's all right, go ahead.
No.
Okay.
Can we commit a felony?
You say there.
I think there is also a subcategory of teams where it's funny to watch them lose because they'll do it in a predictable way. And by that I mean Penn State. Like, I don't necessarily need Penn State to lose because I don't, like, Penn State's had it too good for too long or some shit. It's more like, I know what that will look like, and I know what the reaction will be.
It'll be 17-15.
Yes. It's the same reason Home Alone is satisfying, because I'm like, oh, these fucking adults can't fucking figure out what to do.
Here comes a paint can. Here comes a paint can.
Why'd the offense call paint can? Knowing good and well they would be struck with a paint can.
I actually do think Penn State has it too good. This is the haters episode. Don't look at me like that.
That's fair. That's
How
fair.
Can anyone in the Big Ten East have it too good, though? Because, like, the minute any one of those three, and sometimes four, gets an inch above the edge of the bucket, they will lose.
Yeah. The old guy with
Stay
the
down.
Shovel shows up.
It's too much. Stay down.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Michigan Ohio State is the old guy with the shovel from Home Alone, because at the end of the day, no matter who's managed to get a hold of whom, he's going to come along and knock them out. That's
and he's
for
estranged
Penn State.
From his family.
You remember yes. that time Penn State won a Big Ten championship?
Huh.
That's the thing yeah, that happened.
That didn't happen.
It just yeah. didn't fucking matter.
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
They said we like
in my opinion
this other team instead.
Washington, we choose.
That seems far fetched.
we choose not paint can. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we choose. Yeah, that's when Penn State fans. I think I'm unfairly biased them because of the ones that I interact with most. I know that.
Oh, they're the ones we know are great.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, that's generally, like, you're going to self-select those. It's not like, yeah, I know this guy for years, and I hate him, and I continue to hang out with him, you know?
Treblaw, my personal accountant.
My confidant and personal advisor, Ben Treblaw Gazzara. That's my guy. But, like, fan base-wise, whenever I the variety of hating specific to Penn State for me is that the way James Franklin fails is funny.
Yes,
James Franklin fails is absolutely hilarious. He is in many respects a 7-year-old who has been given the keys to a car, understands that the road is where the wheels are supposed to go and everything else is negotiable. That's him mm-hmm. at the end of the game. That's him in terms of the way his teams play. He does way better than you think the 7-year-old would do, which is generally true, right? Like you see stories like 7-year-old drives on highway and you're like, well, mm-hmm. he got on the highway. That's amazing.
He
and also
did everything.
Great recruiter, so he got in the car in the first place.
Yep.
Everything else after that, right? You're like, the 7-year-old got a Ferrari. Let's see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, let's start this up, by the way. It's going to be even funnier this year because I don't know if you've been following one of the boomlets in preseason discussion is, man, Penn State's got a pretty impressive roster.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah.
do. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, they should win almost every game. So
this is a this is a really good year for inevitable disrespect to be a theme for one of the Big Ten East.
This
teams.
Is like a haters almanac 100-year storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State all have like good cases to make for we're really good and this could be our year. And that can only be true for one of them. That's how this year works.
That's how every year works in the Big Ten East. You're going to get kneecapped, dude. That's your neighborhood.
Yep. And then Minnesota strolls along, wins the West. Fuck you. Life's better over here, you idiots.
God, I hope that happens. That Minnesota with everyone exactly at 3.5 stars, right? Like everybody, like Minnesota, the most mid roster of all time. And in terms of the midpoint of potential talent, let's just put them all at like 2.5 to 3 stars somewhere in there. And they come along and win the Big Ten. That would be the funniest.
PJ Fleck's going to show up to the season missing an ear and insist that it's always been like that. Why are you asking questions?
What? This is, I had a bungee cord rip my ear off.
Or like, what if
it
the,
was for charity? He sold his ears for charity.
Yeah, I did. It's for a well-known charity called Ears for Tots. You haven't heard of it?
Van Gogh started it. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah,
Van Gogh the boat. So what if you have the Big Ten East's top three?
Yeah.
While they're pummeling each other, here comes Wisconsin with its new race car offense.
Yep. Yep.
Sprint away with the title.
Yep.
The Wisconsin. I will laugh if they get up there.
Wisconsin
and
wants points. It's crazy.
I cannot wait. It's going to be so fucking weird.
If they're winded in the second quarter, I'm going to laugh.
Wisconsin's going to attempt offense. I can't wait to see it.
We've been doing nothing but conditioning, guys. So full of cheese. I wanted to also address, in terms of like teams that are very, very fun to hate, situational matters, I think, more than anything else, many kind of absolutes. Texas A&M right now, you have to fine grain it. It's very funny. Like the entire dynamic of money plus Jimbo equals this is so goddamn funny.
It's
never, never unfunny.
It's tricky because I don't find personally that individual Texas A&M losses are satisfying. It
no.
is the aggregate.
It's aggregate. It yeah.
is,
no, it's
it
the
is
vibe.
The dissolution of the season that is satisfying. It is watching. It is watching somebody fall down the stairs into a bucket of dirty water tumble down the hill. Like, it's the whole thing. It's not
having another tab open with the oil and gas prices in it.
Right. Because, like, I can only remember three A&M games from last year, and one of them they won, the Arkansas game. But yeah. Other than that, it's just Miami and App State. And they played Florida, and I know Florida won, and I don't remember shit about it.
They are a delight because I think they're very relatable. Because in week one, much like the first week of your year, they're like, I got goals. I got things to happen.
Right, right.
And they're like, suffered a big L in week three. Okay, we're going to regroup. We'll get this. We'll get to the champion. We'll get to the conference championship.
All our goals are still on the table.
So all our goals are still. And then Gradually, one by one, all of the goals fall off the table. And it's like,
well, they get smaller.
All right, we're at a different table.
It's like when you've completely fucked a day, and at 3 p.m. you're like, I'm going to get pants on. That's where A&M is. A&M's always like, okay, I'm going to cook dinner.
Right,
and
right.
8 p.m. rolls
Auburn,
around, and you're like,
I pooped my pants.
But yeah, lost to Auburn, and now DoorDash is open. We're just going to just get Mexican again. God damn.
Beat LSU. we have Mexican food. We beat LSU. Yeah.
That's it. What are you doing? I'm playing Zelda, and I'm eating Mexican food.
Yeah, so the day ended with Sopapillas, which is...
Yeah, exactly.
You somehow fucked around and beat LSU.
Got some churros, baby. That's all that matters. And I love that. Like, I find, like, I'm going to laugh at it, especially Jimbo, because, I don't know, feel safe. You can laugh at the guy who's making $75 million guaranteed. Yes. That's why he gets the... That's why he pay. You know, like, you can make fun of him all you want, and he's still like, I got 9 ranches. Like, that's... You can't get away from that.
You can also, like... There's nothing funnier than somebody who's very unhappy about the thing that's happening, but also won't do anything about it. Like, if you saw somebody driving down the road with their emergency brake on, just smoke pouring out of their, and you were like, hey, and they were so mad, and you were like, hey, release the emergency, no, god damn it, this is my car.
You know what I bet will make this slightly less tragicomic? The addition of Bobby Petrino as the first offensive coordinator Jimbo Fisher's ever really had to, like, trust.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be good.
Yeah. It's going to be really – I love the description of Bobby Petrino as, like, this is what everyone says about him. Everyone says, now, you got to say, he's a brilliant offensive mind, but – and I'm like, tell me when his last good offense was at the FBS level. It's been a few years. Mm. Like, I'm not like, at the he gotta hand it to him
run
point.
Of data at Louisville.
We saw
recently.
He left
power conference level.
We all remember.
He's got to reprove himself, in my opinion, before I'm gonna say, well, he fucking sucks, but he's good at his job, because he hasn't been for a while.
I would be
granted.
Would be,
Missouri State was awesome.
I would be very good at my job if I had Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
Sure,
we've seen this. This is
until Ed Oliver showed up.
Yes, until Ed Oliver. That usually happened in college, to be fair. Which everything was fine, and then Ed Oliver showed up.
And then Ed Oliver showed up.
Yeah. So that's like, if you want to know the specific, like, okay, what do you enjoy watching about, you know, like, where's the good, like, hater meat there? You're like, oh, all of it is on the bone, and it is all centered around the fact that there is so much money going into such a mediocre product.
That, for me, is the entire comedy of A&M. Everyone told you this was a bad investment. And you just wanted nothing more than to say you spent more money on football than Texas did.
Yeah.
Everyone told you not to do that, and you did, and it sucks. So
you'll notice Texas spends a lot of money, and they suck.
Right. Therefore, if we double down on what our total non-rivals suck at,
I think there's something beautiful about that. I think there's something beautiful about looking at Texas and being like, the problem is they're cheap.
Just Texas.
Those broke motherfuckers don't like football enough. They don't care enough that they're bad.
Mm-hmm. We have been doing the wrong thing. We'll do the wrong thing harder.
No, it's Xerxes rolling up to Sparta and being like, why are y'all eating broth?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Arkansas is paying their coaching staff in, like, pork sandwiches.
And we love them. We love them. We just think they're great.
These sandwiches are good as hell.
And that's a program with some Yahoo tendencies. If you want to know, like, Arkansas could be right there if they were like, if Jerry.
Speaking of coaches that we need to prove aren't shit.
Yeah. Jerry could just, you know, Yahoo out, and he could just be like, hey, you know what we need to do? Spend more money. That could happen.
They have, you know, they have that conversation, and Jerry's like, "Just as soon as we win one more Super Bowl, you guys just wait. Oh, we're damn. So close." Oh. And Arkansas,
I'm going to get you braces just as soon as Sister Girl makes the pageant.
Arkansas's athletic department is like, "God fucking damn it, we're gonna." Oh Jesus!
What if we just start with? You know, I mean, obviously, we believe you'll win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But what if we start with like a small investment when you win? A playoff game.
A division game. A divisional game. Maybe. Would that be cool?
Oh, listen, I'm telling you, they're straight on to Jerry and the Will. They're like, listen. He's like, when the Cowboys win one, I'm really going to start writing the big checks. And they're like, you thought about bequeathing? You thought about, you know, the tax benefits of this for you and your family?
I wonder if Jerry Jones is aware that he'll die, though. Hmm. Like, does he believe in it?
Does Jerry Jones have a will? I'm going to have to ask Don.
Can you convince Jerry?
I don't mean to ask Don out of this.
Get him to admit that it'll likely happen.
One of two things will happen. Jerry Jones will have his consciousness uploaded to a sex robot before he does. Or
a sex robot.
Jerry, a real handsome one.
He can fuck.
Yeah. Or Jerry Jones will die penniless, having invested all of his money into sex robot consciousness uploading.
Dot biz.
Jerry Jones's own sex robot. That
why does this look like Tony Romo? Never mind.
Now I fuck me.
Finally found a partner who's my true equal. Me.
God damn, you look rich. Except you're not, because it took all my money to create you.
He's rich in assets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's an asset.
Yeah.
I'm taking my sex robot to Tao. We're gonna have a great night out on the town.
I think in terms of, in FBS, I don't think there are any teams I hate except Liberty. And in the rest of Division I don't think there are any teams I hate except the Ivy League. Academic equals all their schools I've just named. But in terms of schools, I like it when they lose. The current iteration of Iowa, I love so many Iowa fans. I have family in Iowa. But it is awesome when your team plays perfect defense. And loses. It's just great.
I watch that shit every Saturday. It's so futile. It just feels so hopeless because
it's so peaceful. Once you resign yourself to it, it's like you enter perfect stasis. You sort of just count the minutes until you enter the situation in which the punt will land at the one. The other defense will punt to midfield. The punt will land at the one. And and you just black out, look up, the game is over. It was awesome. They lost. They put up 8 yards. It's great. I don't hate them, though.
Some guy named Chad had 3 sacks. You know, like that's an Iowa football game. But I think you talk about, I agree. Like, I don't know if I hate a team, like unilaterally. I don't know if I hate a team. Situations where I enjoy watching teams lose, though, multiple. Many, and they constantly change based on the context, and they constantly change based on circumstance. I love watching this. I love watching this Iowa team lose because I know their fans are like, "We just need to score one more time.
We need to get the defense back out there so we can score."
It's not like, yeah, man, we need like 8 3-pointers or we're back into this. They're like, we need a free throw, and we can't hit the backboard.
We need to dribble past midfield.
And it's part of the design. It's supposed to be that way. It's like, honestly, every Iowa team is like a video game that got released 6 months too early that they eventually have to come out and be like, Blizzard Studios is very sorry about the quality of this, but we're going to get some patches. And they never do. They just drop the next one.
The November patch, yeah.
Yeah, Kirk and the devs just need more time, but there's one due in 8 months. They're going to do all this shit over again.
I love that they're bringing in a lot of talent, and there's reason to believe the offense will like pretty radically improve, and it might finish like 80th.
Yeah. Radical improvement would be scoring 3 more points. They're like, well, they were in like 8 one-score games. They're always in 8 one-score games.
Every game is a one-score game.
Every game is a one-score game.
And they didn't get the score.
You designed this entire system where nothing's supposed to fucking happen. Well, defense is happening. No, it's not.
Lots of it.
tons of defense out there, but you can't win games past a certain threshold with it. It's beautiful. It's all designed to just get Kirk Ferentz paychecks. That's all it's designed to do.
But maybe not the other Ferentz, because the other Ferentz is currently totally unsupervised as his actual quote-unquote boss, Gary Barta, is leaving. So I guess what that means is something might happen at Iowa.
Probably
which not. Is foreboding things happening at Iowa.
I feel like you and I, Spencer, are too close to this. But I suspect it's very funny when Florida loses.
It's very funny. No, it's fucking hilarious when Florida loses. Especially because we've made some good comedy over the past, like, 15 years.
Yeah, this must be a fucking laugh riot over the last, like, 10 years.
The LSU series alone is a Looney Tunes series.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Sometimes in the other direction, but most often at our expense.
The funniest part when Florida loses, and their bowl game was a great example of this. There's an internal fight that happens, and this happened when Florida lost to Oregon State, where if Florida's losing and getting shut out, that's the important part, an internal debate erupts amongst Florida fans, which is, should you, down 4 touchdowns, should you kick a field goal to extend Florida's extremely dumbass score, haven't been shut out in like 400 games or whatever.
The most consistent offense in all of football.
A streak that we should remind you, listener, is only intact because Florida scored 2 points against Florida State like 2014 or 2015 mm-hmm. or some shit.
Count them.
So you get this debate where it's like, should we nakedly attempt a field goal that does not actually put us back in the game? It is just to save face about this dumb thing that only we care about. Or should we try to be good at football again, even though we haven't done that all game? And that's pretty delightful. I do enjoy when you get to watch that sort of bubble up.
Just be consistent.
Also, some real proudly delusional fans who really overestimate the anticipated landing point for every single team that goes out every year. Like, hey, we're Florida. We're not supposed to lose those. And yet.
I don't think Florida fans register as more delusional than anybody else, really. I think this is one where you perhaps you take too close.
I think the state as a group does. I don't think Florida fans stand out amongst their state peers in that regard.
The one truly special thing to me about this situation is indeed Big Three Twitter. That is
yes, yes.
It is the one like rivalry internet thing that's actually special. Like everyone thinks their rivalry is like super heated. It's not. You need to look up what's happening when 2 of the 3 Big Three schools are losing. Look at that shit on a Saturday. And learn something.
Especially if the third is on a bye. That's the best.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
If they're invincible or if they've already won, right? Like Miami beat NC State at noon.
On Thursday or something. Yeah,
yeah. Thursday night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Like 17-10. You know, like,
they're
not, State, bitch.
They're in the clubhouse. Yeah.
It is surreal. Hater ass golf shit is.
It absolutely is. You're just sitting in the clubhouse with a cold beverage, mm-hmm. watching Florida State cough up a lead to Wake. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of like uniquely special hater shit, that is the one. Like everyone thinks, I know I just said this, but seriously, everyone thinks like our rivalry is so special, so heated, so tough. I'm sure it is. It's second at best.
What it really is that we need to get back to the place where, and there are several schools that did this, but we need to get to back to the place in, like, I don't know, the 50s and shit, where a team would come out and they'd look at themselves and say at the start of the season, we're not going to win the national championship. We are not that good. But we are going to play our rival on Thanksgiving. And we are putting everything into that. Like, we don't
Georgia
care.
Georgia Tech used to be great for this.
Georgia mm-hmm. Tech used to be great for this. I feel like Auburn did this at one point. There's a Pac-12.
Auburn still does this inadvertently. It's just that sometimes they do it to Auburn.
True. I think there's a Pac-12 school. Maybe Oregon State did this at one point, or one of the Washington schools. I don't remember exactly, but like, I think we need fuck bowl eligibility. Fuck like having good. No, just like go out and say if you are Georgia Tech this year, just say like, our only goal is to beat Georgia. That's the only thing we're trying to do. We don't care about losing to Virginia and do like who the fuck cares? All maybe we want to do lower. Is get all we want to do is get to Thanksgiving and beat Georgia.
Maybe aim a little lower, just this once.
I'm not saying it will work, but I'm saying sure. It's at least more interesting. Yeah, like if ACC Media Days. Georgia Tech's contingent showed up and said, like, yeah, we don't give a fuck about the conference schedule this year.
We just want to make Georgia look as bad as possible.
We just want Georgia to be unhappy at halftime. That's it.
That's good. Yeah. That's all we care about. Yeah.
Yep.
Or if you just did something like you signed 30 semi-pro players to unverified scholarships 2 weeks prior to the game.
Yes.
And then
oh no!
Out.
It got vacated 3 years later. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, who fucking cares? Yeah,
kept Georgia out of the playoff. Yeah,
yeah. Our group of 28-year-old men, all of whom have side jobs and CFL experience.
Yeah, no fucking shit. These guys don't know calculus.
Is that Doug Flutie? Shit. Is that Doug Flutie out there? Yeah, man, he's fucking slinging it.
Yeah, he's on the test.
Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly's like, I'm back, bitch! I did it! The giant killer in the house. Again, this will happen. We just said it. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yep.